Representative Wahlberg, thank you very much for talking with me today. I'd like to ask you a few questions for our readers about Christian involvement in politics. First of all, why did you enter politics as a Christian?
Well, it's one of the things that Christians understand, that God has plans for our life sometimes that are very much different, are out of the expected for our own selves. And while my plan was at least to fulfill a desire to serve him in any way that he would direct, I had never had any inkling that I'd be in politics. I was at the time in the pastorate, enjoying my pastoral ministry, seeing God bless in various ways. Got involved with the Right to Life organization in our community as a result of asking my congregation to be salt and light in the world and find areas where they could bloom and have an impact, and not simply as Christians in a church setting, but out in the community. And so my wife and I felt we ought to heed our own advice, and that issue of life was very strong and heavy in our district at the time, and so I got involved with that. And ultimately, was asked to consider running for state House of Representatives. To make a long story short, initially that my response was to chuckle and say, I don't think so. Over the course of time and the people talking to me and me seeking counsel, ultimately decided to take that leap and see where God would take us. The door was open, nothing closed. We ended up defeating an incumbent in the primary who had supported abortion on demand and Medicaid funding of abortion, and supported our governor's veto of anti-abortion legislation. And we defeated him, went on to win the general election, and 16 years later, I was term limited from the House of Representatives.
What would you say is the biggest challenge you face as a Christian in politics?
I think the biggest challenge is keeping a clear perspective, that while the policy issues, programmatic issues are very important in politics and in society, yet none of those will ultimately bring the life change that's necessary for individuals or for society. That only comes through correctly relating oneself to biblical principles and priorities, priorities designed by our Creator and our God, and ultimately, as individuals, relating ourselves to that wonderful gift, plan of salvation that God offered through the gift of His Son, our Savior. And as a Christian who happens to be a politician, I have to remember that while I give my fullest effort to doing what my constituents have asked me to do, what I've committed to do, and also to follow the constitutional principles that I've taken oath of office to uphold, still the ultimate change doesn't come through human effort outside of God's plan. So I think that's probably the greatest challenge, because it's easy to get caught up in all of the issues, get caught up in the power struggle as it is, and then forget that plans are designed by someone greater. And ultimately, it's Him you want to please.
I think that's something we need to remember as, I'll say, rank and file voters as well. Is that it's God's plan and not my politics that's going to...
You're absolutely right. It's too easy for us as Christians, as church attenders, as people who say that, you know, we trust God for whatever He has in plan. It's pretty easy for us in these times of economic downturn and challenge and struggle and unemployment and all of the above and some of the attacks on morality and Christianity all around the world, including the United States, that we become victims when we start to suffer the same things that we talk against, and that's trusting in ourselves and feeling that everything is going down unless we stand up ourselves, when in fact God is capable of working through these tough times. And if we're faithful, we can evidence something beyond just human effort and point people to a greater power, a greater authority, and ultimately a greater lover of our souls and our lives than we could supply on our own.
With that in mind, what would you say is the main reward then of serving God through politics?
I think it's a great privilege to be able to find yourself in a sweet spot. In my case, politics has really become a sweet spot for me that I enjoy. I enjoy most every part of it. But in the process, to be able to represent Christ as well, to see his principles in their proper place in the realm of ideas, to use the strength that he can provide through his word and through principles of the ages that can be in useful in leadership opportunities, and to know for a fact that this is where God has placed me. And the opportunity, like a Joseph of old, for instance, or a Daniel, or even a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, to be of good service to my constituents, to my society, to my generation, as David was to his generation, and yet to serve the purposes of God at the same time. And that is an extreme privilege that I seldom miss. And it's an exciting place to be.
That really does sound really exciting and rewarding. What do you think is your most important accomplishment then as a Christian in politics?
Well, I'd say that to be able to keep the promises that I make to my constituents is probably the most important accomplishment I can have. And I think I've done that. I have a list of things that I read or I've read during my campaigns to town halls, constituent meetings, where I say, I'm Tim Walberg and this is where I stand. And I go through those principles and commitments, and I've had an opportunity, because I keep it close at hand, to be able to look at and to remind people of and give them the opportunity to remind me if they think that I'm slipping from those principles. So I think that's probably the most important accomplishment. I could talk about a piece of legislation that I've introduced. I can't talk about any that I've had signed into to law, simply because the setting of being in the minority party my first term and now being in majority party but having a president and a Senate who is not is not really open to some of the piece of legislation that I've offered. I can't say I've got legislative successes that have been signed into law and now are making an impact. But I can say at least that I've been serving my constituents faithfully. Whether they agree or disagree with me, they can say at least I've kept my word. And I think that's important as a Christian who happens to be a politician, to be able to keep that first and foremost in my mind, to achieve, to give an example, at the very least, to people that I am a person of integrity and commitment, and I serve someone higher than just myself.
And what are the main issues then in modern politics that you think should concern Christians today?
Well, I think that we just have to read the papers or listen to some of our political conventions speakers to hear some of those challenges. The attack on traditional Judeo-Christian values is huge right here in our country, as it's very easy to see how what was at one time and for a long time in our country's history thought as just normal, status quo, Judeo-Christian ethic. We believed in God. We believed in his principles, whether we lived by them or not. Yet there was a common assent to the fact that there is a God who will judge righteous deeds or evil deeds. Right now, the attack has been put on to say that that is biased, that is judgmental, that goes against true human philosophy, whether it be scientific, believing things that the Bible says to be scientific. How could you possibly do that? Whether it's the issue of teaching creationism in the schools, teaching abstinence and purity in our sexual relations, that that this is not accepted anymore. So those are huge challenges. The rights of conscience. When we get into the area of the recent medical reform bill, health care reform bill, as otherwise known as Obamacare, that is actually forcing religious organizations to purchase a product that goes against their principles, their longstanding theological religious principles, and doesn't seem to be any willingness from top levels of government to step back and say, wait a second, we overstepped there. It's not our responsibility to require you to buy contraceptives for all your employees, or it's not responsible for us to mandate that you have gender laws that allow for homosexuality and the like. The abortion issue, all of that, those are issues that have come to fruition and beyond that have become the laws of the land against our longstanding theological, religious, personal viewpoints and convictions in our society. So those are huge. And then I guess I would hit one other point, which is also a moral issue, and that's the abuse of taxpayer dollars, the expenditures that are deficit-based, the huge $16 trillion debt that we've just surpassed even today. That's a morality issue that speaks to our values or our lack of values of supporting things that, as Christians, we know God can bless by living within our means, by not being servant to the lender as a result of excessive borrowing and spending beyond our means. So those are key issues in our country, and I think Christians ought to be thinking about that because we're part and parcel of letting that happen, either by asking for things we shouldn't have or by just dropping out of our place and our responsibility in society to be salt and light that leads as opposed to just simply acquiesces and follows.
And if a Christian, as he gets involved and starts targeting these issues, paying attention to them as we should be, decides or comes to the conclusion that God is leading him into deeper involvement, like seeking office, what basic advice would you give to a person, a Christian who's seeking office?
Well, I tell young people when I speak to them, and some indicate that they really have a desire to be involved in politics. I tell them, first of all, I don't want to discourage you from that, but I encourage you to not make that your number one priority. In that, I'm saying to them, don't be caught in the trap of desiring to be in a political office so much that you're basically willing to do everything and anything to achieve that. Rather, put yourself in a setting whereby you can gain experience, you can gain a life perspective, on multiple issues. Put yourself in a setting where you do your best in your academic work, in volunteer efforts in the community, in joining organizations, clubs, sporting activities, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, church activities, where you begin to develop a very wide understanding of world issues and world situations. And then, as you get involved with politics or with a community, it's interesting in talking to Christians, as you do that, God may open up a political opportunity for you, or through this interest, he may show you another area that would be better for you in the sweet spot that he's determined. So I guess I'd say don't run from it, but don't make it the only focus of your life, that overriding focus that sometimes causes politicians to do things that they would have never done, except for the fact that they wanted the political life so much that they're willing to cast off some of the principles, convictions, and values that they once thought they held. So again, seek God's will, His guidance, and as it says, He'll give you the desires of your heart. And sometimes those desires, as in my case, I didn't even know. And he opened it up for me, and I find myself, as I said, in a sweet spot where I'm delighted to be used by him and in service to my community.
Hmm. Well, thank you very much. Your theme in just about every question there was seeking God first and letting Him lead you into, you know, not putting politics above Christ, but Christ above politics. And that's obviously great advice for everything we do. Thank you very much, sir, for taking the time to talk with us.
Well, thanks for the opportunity. Thanks for the work you do. We enjoy Answers Magazine, and our grandkids enjoy it. Certainly enjoyed the one visit we've had down to the Creation Museum. Keep up the good work.
Well, thank you, sir. Thank you for your encouragement, and I could say the same to you.
Have a great day.
You too, sir. Goodbye.